Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Look Up, as we pick up in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
It was the economic problems of Germany that gave rise to Hitler. When your whole economy begins to just fall apart, government has totally failed, then the people in desperation are open to anybody who seems to have sensible, plausible answers. And they will follow even one as Hitler with all of his bizarre ideas because he promises to the people the solutions. But it was the economic woes of Germany that laid the groundwork that Hitler could move in on it and to rise to this power. And those same economic problems developing now in Europe today, and the desire for peace will be the program and the crest upon which the Antichrist will move in. Now, there will be an assassination attempt upon his life. And it will appear for a time to be successful, but then he will miraculously survive this assassination attempt, according to Revelation chapter 13. Now, here in Ezekiel, we are told that as the result of this assassination attempt, he will be blinded in his right eye, and one of his arms will be withered. You say, oh, great, we'll be able to identify the Antichrist. Well, I don't hope to be here when he appears. If you're around, you can identify him if you want. But that which hinders, that is, the power of the Holy Spirit within the church, that which hinders shall hinder until he is taken out of the way, and then shall that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who will come forth with all kinds of lies and deceitfulness, working miracles and wonders. So the church should not be here for the revelation of the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come for me. I think it's a rather bizarre and twisted kind of an angle that Satan has people looking for the Antichrist, trying to identify the Antichrist and looking for the Antichrist rather than looking for Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say, look for the Antichrist. He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Look for me, coming for you. And we should be looking for him. So, interesting prophecy in Zechariah concerning the Antichrist. Now, we're out of the fog and into the clear day. Out of the haze and smog, into the glorious pure age, as this final vision of Zechariah tells us about the glorious new age that God is going to establish, the kingdom age upon the earth. And over in these last three chapters, you are going to be reading the phrase, in that day, and that is the preface to the declaration of many of the fascinating aspects of the kingdom age and that great judgment that will immediately precede the kingdom age. So this is the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Francis Schaeffer said that it is important that we not just talk about God today or to just use the term God without defining the term, because the term God represents so many things to so many people and they really don't know what God you are talking about. So he said, when we refer to God, we need to give sort of a defining qualifications. And thus we should say, the eternal God, the creator of the heaven and the earth. And then they know what God you're talking about. Now, it is interesting that the Lord doesn't just, say the Lord, but he gives sort of a defining of himself. The Lord which stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Now I know who you're talking about. You see, he is the Lord over all. He is the divine creator. He stretched forth the heavens. He created the earth. He created the capacity in man to know God and to fellowship with him. And thus, the Lord, identifying himself, declares, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. When they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." I would like to suggest to you that this condition is existing today in Israel. Number one, Israel as a nation is a burdensome stone to all of the nations around it. They are totally surrounded by antagonistic forces. There has been a peace treaty made with Egypt, but it is extremely tenuous. But when Israel became a nation, the day they became a nation, she was immediately attacked by Syria, by Jordan, and by Egypt, who grabbed off great chunks of territory when Israel was declared a nation, a state, by the UN resolution. And since that time, in subsequent wars, when the little nation of Israel was surrounded by enemies of vastly, numerically superior forces, Israel came forth from these skirmishes looking almost invincible. In 1967, when Israel took on both Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, they were able to push Egypt clear back to the Suez Canal. They were able to take the entire Golan Heights. They were able to take from Syria and the entire West Bank from Jordan in just 6 days of fighting. Jerusalem was a cup of trembling to all of the people around about her. And those who were in siege against Jerusalem and Judah, Jerusalem became a burdensome stone. And those that burdened themselves with them were cut off, cut in pieces. These victories were the result of God working with them. Now, the Jews did not recognize that after 1967. But they developed, through the victories of 1967, a very cocky attitude. More or less a attitude of, we are invincible. And if you would tour the land, they were very proud to tell you of their brilliant military strategies, of their battles, and of their fighting powers and what they had done. And any suggestion that God maybe helped them was sort of scoffed at. And yet, who can deny the hand of God? In taking, say, the Golan Heights. For when they were pressing for a ceasefire, and the tide of battle, of course, they had already taken the Sinai, clear down to the Suez, and they were moving their sources, and they had taken the West Bank, and they were now moving to Syria because they wanted to capture the Golan Heights to get the advantage of the upper positions, military positions. And so, though there was a big cry for a ceasefire, they knew that they were going to establish the lines of the ceasefire. You know, the border would be established at the time the ceasefire went into effect. And so they were stalling for the ceasefire because they were wanting to get as much as the Golan Heights as they could. But Syria, beginning to realize that the tide of battle was going against them, was pressing and urging the world for an immediate kind of a ceasefire. And in order to impress the world, Damascus radio began to broadcast that the Israeli troops are fighting in the streets of Damascus. And all of the commanders out in the Golan Heights, listening faithfully to their Damascus radio, heard all of these propaganda lies over the radio in Damascus that Israel had moved to Damascus and was fighting in the streets of Damascus, though that was not the case, but yet for propaganda purposes, the Damascus radio was publicizing this and broadcasting this. The tank commanders and all of them began to leave their tanks, and the Israeli planes, the observers, saw all of these troops fleeing towards Jordan. Left all their tanks and everything in place, and they were all fleeing toward Jordan because they'd been listening to the Damascus radio that Damascus was falling. And they thought, oh man, we've been cut off, you know, and we've had it. And so they just left, and they were all fleeing to Jordan. And so the planes reported, hey, the guys are fleeing. So that's why Israel stalled the ceasefire for one more day. And they were able to take over 1,000 square miles of the Golan Heights in just one day. Because Syria abandoned it, and so they sent in their paratroopers to the lines that they wanted. And they took it, and so the ceasefire was claimed, and they had all of this territory as far out as the paratroopers had gone. Now, you read in the Old Testament how the Lord had brought confusion upon their enemies. You say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament, you know. Hey, it's happening today. It happened in 1967. 1973 war was a little different, vastly different, in fact. The Arabs were better equipped and better trained. Russia had sent thousands of officers and millions of dollars worth of equipment, armament and all, to Syria, to Egypt, and trained them for the Battle of Annihilation. And Russia was directing the 1973 war against Israel, attacking on Yom Kippur. They had dramatic initial successes, and they almost destroyed Israel in 1973. There were a few days there where the fate of the nation was just in delicate balance. Israel received some initial setbacks, severe setbacks. Along the Suez Canal, they had established these concrete bunkers and the Barlev Line, which was considered to be impregnable, much like the Maginot Line in France that the German panzers overran in World War II. It was supposed to be a strong bulwark of defense, and surely they'll not be able to conquer the Barlev Line. But they did. Up in the Golan Heights, the Syrians had some initial advantages and breakthrough, and they came within 1 mile of the Golani headquarters. After 1973, the attitude of the Jewish people changed dramatically. They no longer felt invincible. They realized that they were almost destroyed. They realized that their nation, their dreams, had almost come to an end. And after 1973, there was a much more subdued attitude among the people. We noticed a dramatic change. in people that we knew, that we had talked to before the 1973 war and then talked to after the 1973 war. Suddenly, this whole feeling of invincibility was gone and they were afraid. And yet, how God did protect them and how God did give them victory in 1973. Now, it is interesting to me and significant that the Lord here declares, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Have you heard the UN resolutions in the last few years? How that the whole world stands in a resolution to condemn Israel. Even the United States has been voting in some of these resolutions against Israel, condemning them for certain actions, for establishing settlements in the West Bank, for attacking the nuclear reactor in Iraq and things of this nature. Though the whole world be gathered together against it, and really Israel almost stands alone against the world. The United States, from the time of President Truman, well, even before, has been a staunch ally of Israel. But after the 1973 war, the Arabs found a new weapon. And that was the oil. And they began to use it as a political tool for blackmail. And they began to influence the foreign policy of the United States dramatically with the threat of an oil boycott. They gave us a sample of what it would be like in 1973 after the war, when we were waiting in the long lines at the gasoline pumps. And they demonstrated to us the power that they had with their oil to bring us to a grinding halt. And since that demonstration, they have been using their oil, raising the prices constantly, creating this worldwide inflation and economic woe, and causing us to dramatically alter our relationship with Israel, with the threat that if we support Israel, then they will cut off our oil supplies. And we know that the threat is legitimate. We know that if they should cut off the oil supply, it does mean war, because to survive, we will have to send our forces into the Middle East to take the oil and to force the supply to continue to come. And so the whole thing has changed, and thus the United States has even moved so many times of late in the world opinion against Israel, so the prophecy is fulfilled, though the whole world be gathered together against them. And in much of our policy towards Israel, we have had to alter the policy not from our conscience, what we feel is right, but what we are being pressured to do because of the necessity of continued oil supply out of the Middle East. Now, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. And in that day will I make the governors of Judah like the hearth of the fire among the wood, and like the torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. 1967, that came to pass. Jerusalem was inhabited again in her own place. And Jerusalem came again under the authority of the nation of Israel. No longer a divided city. No longer half under the control of the Jordanian government and half under Israel. But Israel was united and inhabited. And of course, they have since then just expanded the borders and the boundaries of Jerusalem. Even now, you go out towards Jericho after you get past Bethany, And 10 miles down the road towards Jericho, a huge, vast new housing settlement. Part of Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem now. Part of it they have established over towards Bethlehem, all in the territory of what is known as the West Bank. Huge, vast new apartment complexes and industries and all as they are expanding their hold upon that land. It's all a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, it's hard to... many times when you talk about these things, there are times, unfortunately, that people of Arab extraction feel, oh, you're anti-Arab. No, you're just pro-Bible. You're just saying what the Bible says is going to be. And because I get excited when the Bible is coming to pass doesn't mean that I hate all Arabs or I am against Jordan or I'm against any group of people. It just means that I get excited when I see Scripture being fulfilled.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Zechariah on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Zechariah 11 through 12 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied, and may He bring to your remembrance those things which He has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and His will and His plan for your life. May the Lord be with you to bless you, guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in Him. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
I feel we are so close to the end. I have never seen so many signs that point to the end. Our country is in the worst mess it's ever been in. I said to Chuck, what can we do? Our life is given to the ministry, to the salvation of souls and the walk of Christians, and yet we can't seem to make a dent. Chuck, do you think it's because the Lord is coming soon and maybe there's going to be one last revival?
Hey ladies, I would like to highly encourage you to pick up a copy of K. Smith's new book, Colossians, the most recent addition to her Bible study series. Like the believers in Paul's day, today we live in the midst of cultural craziness, and we too are vulnerable to the quick fix solutions of world philosophers and religious legalists. Let Kay guide you through the book of Colossians to understand how the Lord wants you to live in these last days, to love your family, and to revive our nation. To order a copy for yourselves or a friend, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673, or to see a sneak preview, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.